You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
We're live, pal.
Hey, we're live, pal. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the ASL Live Chat here on MMAfighting.com. I am, of course, your host, Jose Youngs. After a quick break, a week-long break of no AA side, mostly because I was in attendance in Jacksonville and the UFC rudely scheduled media day during the AA side live chat, so couldn't do it then. I believe the week before that, we had started an hour early because of Bellator media day, because they rudely scheduled it during the AA side slot. So we're back to our normally scheduled program of the AA side live chat on Wednesdays, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, live on YouTube, and now we are live on Twitter. And we're live on Facebook. So for all of our new viewers that are tuning in on Twitter and Facebook, welcome. This, of course, will also be up on all the podcast networks after we are done live. But joining us this week, he's been on before. Last time he was on, it was me, him, and Andreas. And we talked about hip-hop for about 45 minutes with a little bit of MMA sprinkled in there and a little bit of boxing as well. So joining us once again after his long-awaited return, Ant Walker. How's dad life over in California?
Dad life is fantastic. The second one will be here in about 5 weeks, so it's super dad life around here now. So I'm just fully in parent mode as we speak, and you can see how mature I am in the background. So
no, man, you're building for your son's future into comic books. As you can see, if I ever have a future spawn behind me, he's never going to need reading material for the rest of his life with all these books behind me. But I had to get you on again because once you get that second kid in, I doubt we'll ever see you again, and rightfully so. Anyway, on the ones and twos, Casey, how's life in Englewood? How's life fully vaccinated? Not only are you fully vaccinated, you also got the 2-week window, so you are fully, fully vaccinated.
I'm good to go, and this Ant Walker guy, I told him, dude, I'm vaxxed, I'm good to go. We can train in my dojo just 15 feet right over there, but he's out too busy creating human beings that he can't come over here and take a beating from these hands, these elbows.
I found time to work out on my own. So is this just a schedule conflict or am I actually ducking you, Casey? I don't know.
Oh, here's the thing. That's a lifelong duck. You're like, I'm scared of Casey. Hey baby, let's make another human so I can say
I'm unavailable for the next 18 years.
Yeah. So. Here's what I'm hearing, Casey. It sounds like you have to go to Ant. You got to bring the fight to Ant and go to his place, his domain, and break brick there. Then you can beat him up in front of his kids on his home turf.
I feel like that's like a next comic book move. Jose, man, this is dark. What are you doing, man?
Yeah, man.
He's like, beat up in front of his unborn child.
What sport do we follow? What sport do we cover? What did we just watch on Saturday? A grown man getting knocked dead in front of his home fan.
I saw a man get his leg split. I paid $70 to see a man get his leg split in half, so I don't know.
Specifically?
Hey, you know what? My leg got split in half just like that, too. So I was having some really, really crazy flashbacks watching that one.
That's right. That's right. What a horrifying, horrifying time. Anyway, those of you that have never tuned into the show, if you're on Twitter or Facebook and you want to ask questions, Casey is manning the questions in the comments. We have a lot of questions on the site. You can go to MMAfighting.com, find the post. This is the A-Side Live Chat. You can drop a comment in there. No promise we'll get to it while we're live, or you can respond to one of us on Twitter and maybe we'll see it. Or if you're watching this and you have any of our phone numbers, shoot us a text message and we'll answer it live on the air. Our buddy Matt Wells has done that a few times. So, yeah. First question, Casey. What do we got from the peeps in the comments and or the site?
Well, first thing I'm doing is setting my phone to silent. So there you go.
That's how you do it.
All right, here we go.
What a crew today from Jessica Crystal Crew. Yes, we are big into crystals here. Well, I don't know. I don't want to speak for Ant, but we've had a lot of long and illustrious history with the crystals here on the A-Side Live Chat, specifically Tiger's Eye.
It's like I'm very familiar with the lore of the crystal on this program. I can't say I'm a crystal guy, but I have my own little quirks about me. So, you know, I'm a weirdo in my own way.
Jessica, right. Did you get Shorty his crystals yet? Because the next time he's on, you know, he's going to bring it up. He brings it up every time.
Yeah, get with it.
Anyway,
right.
Get with it.
Here's the big one. Nah, no, I don't know. There's a lot of big ones, but we'll go up this one right now.
King Kamaru Dean from MMG2K20, MMG2K20 on the site. Let's talk Kamaru, GSP, welterweight GOAT. GSP got his first title shot after two fights into his UFC career as a TKO and a submission loss in the UFC. Has a lot of close decisions with people suggesting he lost versus Hendricks. That's Johnny Hendricks. Kamaru had 9 fights for his first title shot. He has never lost in the UFC, and he is either finishing guys or absolutely dominating them for the entire fight. I'm not suggesting Kamaru is ahead, but our title defenses slash longevity are the only thing that matter here. Would love your guys' opinions, as I did miss the first half of GSP's career. So, of course, this individual is asking where we would rank Kamaru Dean in the annals of welterweight greats. I have him slotted 2, maybe 3. Like, 2 would be the max, and then if you want to argue who's better between... I think, in my mind, GSP is still number 1. Not saying Kamaru can't get there. Right now, in the year of our Lord 2021, on April 28th, I think George St. Pierre is still the greatest. And if you want to argue between Kamaru, Tyron, Woodley, and Matt Hughes being 2, I don't have a problem with any of those. Kamaru is well on his way, but Ant, I'll let you take the first answer. What do you make of this individual's question comparing Kamaru and George St. Pierre's run as welterweight champions?
It's certainly a fair question to ask. I'm with you on Kamaru being a number 2. And GSP firmly at number 1. I think really we're just talking about the length of reign. And not necessarily just the title defenses, but how long he's been at the top. Like Kamaru won the belt, 2 years ago? He's done a lot in that time. But also, too, I think it's important to note that he's done a good job of cleaning out the division without holding the belt that long. So that's certainly a plus in his favor. But I still got to give it to GSP, man. You know, that number of title defenses, that long, that many years on top and having so many people gunning for you. And I think Kamaru's going to run into this eventually if he decides to keep active. If you remain the champion for a long time, everyone coming up is looking at you as the guy they need to take out. So we think about like Chris Weidman dethroning Anderson Silva and how his initial goal, he said, when he first stepped into an MMA gym was beating Anderson Silva because that's who was on the top at the time. So his whole career was building to that moment. We're going to have people that are building toward beating Kamaru Usman. And that's a very difficult thing to overcome time after time, and especially as you're getting older. I think he might eventually overtake GSP. But it's not right now. Like we're getting premature. There's a lot of recency bias there. And I understand why. I mean, Kamaru lately has been a lot more exciting than GSP was during the latter half of his career. So it makes sense to me why people are pointing this way now. Like how many broken jaws was GSP dishing out toward the end? You know, not many. Sure. Like we got the Koscheck broken orbital, and that's about it. Mostly it's been just wrestle domination aside from that. And Kamaru was like dislodging people's consciousness. So, yeah, I get it, but GSP still number one.
Casey, you've been there since the beginning of George St. Pierre's career covering the sport. I watched pretty much all of it. Like, I covered the second half of it, but you've been around for a long time. What do you make of this comparison? I know we talked about it a while ago when Danny Austin, a fellow Canadian of George St. Pierre, and obviously Danny is Canadian, so there is no talk against George St. Pierre when he is present, but what do you make of this comparison?
If you put a lot of weight into the actual UFC championship, and which I believe it's really to get a champion. I think go back to the question. The most important part of this question is GSP got a title fight after like two or three fights in his career. Kamaru had to do nine. That's a big difference. I think this is what holds Habib back too, because people go, well, Habib only defended the title so many times. Well, it's because he had to fight so many times to get to that title. If you count those, then I mean, it's easy to call him the GOAT. But I'm at the point I won't say Kamaru has surpassed GSP yet, but I'm at 1A and 1B right now because of the domination and of Kamaru. The fact that he hasn't, he's been hit hard a couple of times, but he really hasn't been put in danger like he's going to lose a fight ever. And much like Habib, I think Habib's freaking amazing, is Habib never had an off night. And outside of Kamaru's second fight of his career, which at a very local regional level, he has never had an off night. Past that night, he has just been domination. And I think that is the big difference maker for me. And that's why Kamaru kind of gets that jump up into be the 1B level. But the big thing holding Kamaru back is the fact that the man still gets booed. He gets booed. He can be the A side on a pay-per-view, but he's not the guy that's really going to be selling tickets. And I don't know I don't have an answer for that. I just don't have an answer for that. And that's going to be a big thing, because like, how can you be the GOAT, but no one care about it either, in a sense? It's like, I get Kamaru can headline any pay-per-view, but he can't headline by himself, you know, a blockbuster pay-per-view. He needs that opponent. And maybe that's the issue too. Maybe the rematch of Colby might make that happen. But
do you think it's fair to like penalize him because like people are too stupid to appreciate the greatness in front of them?
Well, I ain't penalizing him. You're the one penalizing him. I think Kamaru is just as good as GSP right there.
I think
why people hold him back as far as like saying he's better is because he just doesn't he doesn't have the fanfare. He doesn't have that. But let me say that this way: when we've all worked media events, when Brock Lesnar walks into a room, everyone's like, "Oh shoot, there's Brock." When John Jones walks into rooms, "Oh, there's John Jones." You know. When Kamaru's like, "Oh, hey, cool, Kamaru's here. We should get an interview if we get a chance." That's what I mean. Like he just doesn't have that. I don't know, but that thing yet, and that's not his fault. And I'm bummed out even admitting that, because I think Kamaru's so effing good.
We were talking a little bit about this in the media room, and I think the big thing that hurt Kamaru is two of his first big fight with Masvidal was in front of nobody. And he couldn't do the media days. He couldn't have that photo of 1,000 reporters around him taking photos. And then the Colby fight was obviously a big deal, but Casey, you were there. Colby Covington held court the entire time. And Kamaru Usman did not play into it. Like when we were interviewing him and stuff, he did not play into the gimmick. Like, I am defending, quote unquote, the culture against this man wearing a MAGA hat. He did not play into that. Doesn't bother me whatsoever whether he did or not, but Colby was the one driving clicks. And then he fights Jorge in front of no one. And then he fights Gilbert Burns in front of no one. And then he gets to fight Jorge Masvidal in the first big crowd back. And Jorge Masvidal is obviously holding court. It's in Florida, where no one in their right mind is going to boo Jorge Masvidal and cheer Kamaru Usman in Florida. He's missing what George St. Pierre had. And he got how many fights in a row did George have in Canada? Like 5 or 6? Yeah. Where he is Jesus Christ incarnate, like he can walk on water. If Kamaru fights in Africa and he's still the champion, and that you get that image, because how many times have we said you need that image of like Conor in Dublin, Darren Till in Liverpool, George St. Pierre in Canada. You need that image of just the crowd and the beer and everything going insane. Like Stipe Miocic in Cleveland. You need that. And especially if the first event is in the first African event happens, Kamar is the champ and he speaks in, I don't know the exact dialect. I don't want to call it Nigerian if that's not what it is. So apologies. I don't know the exact phrasing of the dialect. And you get that image of him speaking to his crowd and that place going nuts. Oh man, I think he's going to be a rock star. And like, why would you ever have him fight anywhere other than Africa after that? Also, this individual said, George has had a lot of close fights. He's only had two split decisions in the UFC. One was against BJ Penn, who at the time, BJ was the man. And then the Johnny Hendricks fight, which I get the argument. Also that, like, I personally, both of his losses in the UFC, he avenged. He avenged the Matt Hughes fight twice, and he avenged the Matt Serra fight. I put a lot of stock into avenging losses, and I think close fights aren't a bad thing. Are we all going to disagree that that Carlos Condit fight is one of the greatest fights ever? That is one of the greatest fights I've ever seen. He got head kicked into oblivion and survived, and George St. Pierre came back and won. I put a lot of stock into surviving near-death experiences and coming back and pulling out a rabbit out of your hat. That's just my phrasing. Domination is great. I would like to see how you react to turmoil anyway.
I think Kamaru's response would be, what? I ain't gonna
not
get
his
it.
Fault.
Yeah, not my fault. Ain't no one trying to. No, but I completely understand. And dude, I'm not exactly. A couple people in the comments, oh, you're stupid. GSP's, I get GSP's super good. He's super good. But I'm comparing. I'm not take away title fights. Just UFC fights against top level competition. Kamaru's just been more dominant.
I think George has fought better opponents late as of now in their careers. But man, what were you going to say?
I wanted to push back a little bit here because I think Kamaru has like that sort of mystique walking into a room, and maybe our experiences are just different, but like being there at 235 when he won the belt, it felt different. Like he had an aura around him, which granted, I still pick Woodley to win that fight ahead of time. But then looking back, I was like, wow, I should have seen this coming. This the presence that he had. I think it's there. It's just a matter of whether or not it gets marketed properly. He's charismatic, I think, like talking to him. He's a well-dressed guy. He can articulate himself very well, communicate his points very easily. And he's just got a swagger about him. That's a marketable dude. It's just a matter of how lazy is the UFC's marketing machine. And that's a question that we've asked many, many times. I even think like ahead of 244 or 245 when he knocked out for 245. Yeah, he at least when I interviewed him at the Dominus Media Day, he was leaning very well into the whole, you know, me versus MAGA thing. It was something that he was very aware of, and maybe he didn't play into that during the actual fight week. I wasn't there for that one, but when I spoke with him, it was something that was definitely on his mind and something that he carried into the cage with him. So my experiences with him are different, but I do think that this man is a star if he's put in the right positions.
Whole arena just booed him.
Yeah, it was
important. And I'm bummed out by that. I'm bummed out. You are right though. The Colby situation. I forgot he gave a great comment in his post fight presser about how no, I'm American. My family became I'm living the American dream, not Colby. And I thought it was great. But
he just didn't play into it during fight week. Because like remember when we interviewed at that Dominance Media Day, Casey, before the whole thing happened, we were interviewing him and he like pulled out his phone and was like going through DMs that he was getting about fans asking to like destroy Colby and get this MAGA guy out of here. And then fight week, I followed up. I was like, how have the DMs? He's like, oh, you know, it is what it is. I'm like, God.
Yeah.
Where did like give me the Kamaru we had like 2 weeks ago where you pulled your phone out? Like, don't just give me a corporate answer. Anyway, it's not his fault though. I don't blame him. Right. Trying to, because that's just that opens just a more headache during fight week that you just don't need.
So for you two gentlemen, what, two more dominant victories, and then now you're really like, you beat Leon Edwards, beat Wonderboy, and now we're going, okay. I mean,
beat Colby,
Wonder Boy,
beat Colby again, beat Leon again, maybe Wonder Boy, and yeah, I could say Kamara's the GOAT.
Okay. I just think he's right around that. Hey, by the end of 2021, you know, we might.
Sure.
Yeah.
I just think George beating like what? Koscheck, Shields, Condit, Diaz, Dan Hardy, Thiago Alves, like those are, and those are all title defenses. Those aren't just fights. Like BJ Penn twice, John Fitch, those are defenses. Like what did Demetrius Johnson say when people kept telling him to go up to Bantamweight? He's like, how many champs have there been right now? And at the time it was two. He's like, you got DC and you got Conor McGregor. How many fighters can say they have the most title defenses in UFC history? One. And that's what he's chasing for. So I agree with Demetrius Johnson. I would love to see Kamaru just rattle off title defenses, but whatever gets him paid.
I will say this, though, before we move on. And this is why I can give GSP the GOAT status at welterweight, because I think Anthony mentioned this earlier. Fighters, when GSP was champ, like kids, teenagers were going to MMA gyms and they were training to fight GSP one day.
Mm-hmm.
And for Kamaru, that's not there yet. Like people aren't training to like, oh, I'm eventually going to fight Kamaru Usman. Like a lot of women said, no, when they saw Ronda fight, like when they went to the gym, like I'm training to fight that lady one day. And that's a lot of pressure, you know, for GSP. And so Kamaru hasn't had that weight of the MMA world on his shoulders yet like GSP had. But we'll see if he can handle it. It's tough. You know, it's tough.
Dude. Thank you for the question, MMG2K20.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
In typical fashion, we spent 30 minutes on the first question.
Yeah.
We did. We
no, that's
that
literally how it always goes.
Yeah, it will fly through.
When Michael Case was on, we spent 45 minutes on Bigfoot.
Yeah. This should be an easy answer. Here we go.
Nick Diaz, who does he fight if he comes back? Ant, you want this one?
I hope it's not Chimaev. That's just like really, really bad idea for multiple reasons. Give us the Robbie Lawler rematch.
Give it to me. Casey?
It just makes too much sense.
I like Lawler. I like Condit. I like either of those. I saw Dan Hardy throw his name out there. That's a third distant option. But the UFC is going to, they're going to push Chimaev. Because for the UFC,
why not Masvidal? Masvidal, like Nick Diaz called out Masvidal.
Oh, Masvidal too, yeah.
His younger brother.
Yeah. But I think the UFC will try to do Chimaev.
I agree.
Because it's beneficial to the promotion. And Nick Diaz facing, say, Carlos Condit or Robbie, it's not necessarily a win-win for the promotion. Like, they don't get a sure shot title contender from that fight. Maybe they do.
Sure.
but I feel it's going to be Shamayev. I don't want it to be Shamayev. I like the Lawler one's one I like the most. Lawler, Condit, Masvidal, Hardy, distant fourth. Either of those four.
But
that was a big if. I think the if should be enlarged in all caps. When he pointing to
when we were in when we were in the back, and Dana brought it up, and then the Schmo brought up, could Khamzat Chimaev be an opponent? And Dana was like, "Yeah, could be." Like me and Oscar Willis, our friend, literally just simultaneously looked at each other. We were like, "What the hell is happening?" That's all I'm gonna think about for the rest of the day. Oh, ask Oscar about his interaction with Nick Diaz at the Fighter Hotel. It's quite comical.
I have some good Nick Diaz stories too. All right. Okay, let's talk about the star of the week.
Pay-per-view on the same night. Mayweather, Jake Paul, UFC. Who gets the most buys? Well, the UFC pay-per-view is the week after, correct? I think it's the 13th or 12th or whatever, and the UFC and the Mayweather Paul fight is the 6th or the other way around. Or I'm just incorrect completely and they're both on the same night. I do believe the Mayweather Jake Paul fight is the same day as the
Logan Paul Mayweather Logan Paul. Mayweather Logan Paul.
What did I say,
Paul.
Jake Paul?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mayweather Logan Paul's on the same day as the Lopez boxing match.
I'm ashamed. I'm embarrassed I know that too, but here we are.
Counter programming. Anyway. If Mayweather, Jake Paul, and the UFC all fight on the same night, is it Mayweather versus Logan Paul?
Mayweather, Logan. Okay, this won't happen.
It depends on who's headlining what.
Yeah, it depends on who's on the UFC card. Because like my first answer is that Mayweather Paul is going to be the winner as far as buys are concerned. Because there's so many suckers out there in the world, and there's a 99% chance that if you are a sucker in this world, you are also a combat sports fan. It's the biggest group of marks the world over. We the collective of fight fans will be lining up to throw money at this foolishness. So that's exactly what will win.
See, at least wrestling fans, they acknowledge that they're marks. MMA fans, they're in denial.
Yeah, they still believe like everything is all on the up and up. Yeah. Like, no, it's not.
Pay-per-view on this, it just depends on who's fighting what. Like, if Mayweather is fighting Logan Paul, and like if Jake Paul is fighting Daniel Cormier, like that would be an interesting question.
You said it. It hurt for you to say it out loud.
Yeah, because like I don't give any headspace to things that will never happen. Like that will never happen. Like the Conor Mayweather thing, I'm like, that could happen. I could foresee when that whole tomfoolery was happening, I could see that actually playing out. Jake Paul versus Daniel Cormier will never, ever, ever happen. So I'm like, why are we talking? I don't have time to talk about this. Jake Paul, Nate Diaz, maybe. So I'll talk about that, but who knows?
Well, Daniel Cormier would never counter-program the UFC either. He never would. Like,
no.
Company man. He would 100%. Never dream of it.
100%. Yeah. But, like, if UFC pay-per-view, like, unfortunately, like, if Figueiredo Moreno is, like, the counter-program, like...
Oh, Mayweather and Paul wins that all day long.
Yeah.
Like, all day. It's not even close.
I don't even...
Unfortunately.
To me, unless it's, like, I mean, Conor versus John Jones or something. Like, I think Mayweather versus any celebrity and Jake Paul versus any rant. I still think it loses to Paul versus
Brock Lesnar.
Maybe. Okay, now we're getting closer.
That could happen.
But
Brock Lesnar is not under WWE contract.
Jake Paul versus Ben Askren did better than UFC 261, one of the best pay-per-views we've ever seen.
What was the numbers for 261? Yeah, right now. I have no idea.
We know it did better.
I heard from a few people on ground at 261, and this is probably just UFC propaganda, but I heard it from a few people that those numbers were not anywhere near what they actually were, what they actually announced.
Okay, well, traffic numbers. How about that? How about just numbers. Traffic? How about just web traffic? Web traffic.
Fair play.
Yeah. Because we'll never know the true numbers for any of these pay-per-views. This is all just what, you know, people in the inside and sources give us. But just pure web traffic, Paul Askren, blue 261. And 261 was one of the best cards ever, coming into the card and on paper and what it showed and how it showed up. So, it's just weird. It's just weird.
Yeah, backstage, we're having a big conversation of if it was the greatest card in UFC history.
No, I would say
that. I still put UFC 189's main card as the best main card I've ever seen. But top to bottom, like UFC 189 prelims were not good outside of the Matt Brown fight. Matt Brown, Tim Means fight. But 261, from the first fight to the end fight, there was no bad fight.
Yeah, there was... Yeah.
And 261 had, like, it encompassed every sort of emotion you could ever want in mixed martial arts. Like, yeah. So it was enough, like crazy finishes. Then there was enough, like, just weird things that happened. We got a gross-out moment with the Weidman's leg. We got the weird drop foot. It was just all the crazy things you can imagine happened on that card. And on top of that, big names involved with just about all the fights in the main card. So, that if you said that was the greatest event of all time, I wouldn't be mad at you. I wouldn't necessarily agree, but I'm not going to argue.
People seem to forget UFC 256 that just happened in December. That was the Figueiredo Moreno card. That card ruled from top to bottom. Like Chase Hooper with the heel hook in the first fight and ends with Figueiredo Moreno. At the end, like that, and like Cyril Gane, like that's a card Kevin Holland like slapped up Jacare from off his back. Cub Swanson and Fazeev just like tore through their opponents on the prelim cards on ESPN2, no less. It was a wild night. People forget.
I think the only thing that was missing from 261 was an actual back and forth war at the top of the card. I mean, there was a good fight at night toward the very beginning of the night. But toward the top of the card, everything was kind of one-sided. Fortunate for the winners, but for the fans, you know, you don't want to blow out every single fight. But that's the only thing that holds it back. But it's a great freaking card. But I think the answer to the question is Mayweather and Paul beats UFC.
How much does it cost? If it's $20, 100%. Anyway, should Reyes be the underdog? Scott McCrate on the site. Reyes versus Prohaska should be bananas, but are the bookmakers getting this one wrong? Reyes is plus 110 as of this morning. Just a year ago, many fans and media thought Reyes beat the GOAT John Jones and would reign over the division after Jones vacated. True. Can you talk about a win-loss? What does a win-loss do for both Reyes and Prohaska? Thanks. And I'm not a betting man. Are you a betting man?
Absolutely not. I once bet $10 on Lesnar Carwin, and I was very, very upset. And I still want my $10 back. That was the last time I ever bet on a fight. I don't think the odds makers are necessarily wrong on this one. It makes sense. I mean, last time we saw Reyes, we saw Reyes very recently get just steamrolled by Jan Błachowicz. So it makes sense to question what he has right now against someone like Yuri, who is just buzzsawing through people. So I'm not mad at it. I haven't done a deep dive on like of course my son is crying because he doesn't like my pick.
That's everyone online too. All the comments are all crying. Yeah, same thing.
Like, I know they hate me. They hate me. Yeah. It's okay. I'm used to being hated. I haven't done a deep dive on like the X's and O's of this matchup. But I'm not upset with what the odds makers are thinking right now, because there's a certain sound logic to it, and I like sound logic. Just the type of guy I am.
Casey, what do you make of these odds? I know you're a big Prohaska fan. I'm a big Prohaska fan. Not a big fan of Prohaska's new haircut, if anyone's seen it. Well, actually,
I love his haircut.
Very interesting. It's very interesting. Let me rephrase. It's unique, and it's definitely going to set him apart from every single person in the UFC. Casey, what do you make of the odds specifically?
No, I like those odds. I'm pretty okay. I disagree with the question just a bit. Yeah, most of the media, including I know me and Jose, both thought Reyes beat John Jones, but I don't think after that, I don't think we went, oh, Dominic Reyes is now the new John Jones. I think we just thought, you know, Dominic Reyes is, you know, the best light heavyweight that day. I don't know. That was me for right. me. But it wasn't like, oh, this is the Dominic Reyes era. I don't think we were saying that. But we might be in the Jiří Procházka era pretty soon.
Maybe.
I'm very high in Procházka. I love the way he fights. Now, is Procházka kind of another Johnny Walker where he's just super exciting, big flashy knockouts, but he can get got pretty easy? Not easy, but, you know, you can get him. We don't know yet. I love Procházka, and I think these odds are fine. And I think Procházka will win. I think Procházka is going to beat Reyes, and I think we're going to see Procházka versus Glover Teixeira sometime soon. That was a double prediction. You see that?
Yeah, I was going to say double pick. This fight is interesting for a few reasons, because Dominic Reyes, his last two fights, TKO to Jan, current champ. Weird decision loss to John Jones, but doesn't matter what we think. He won. He lost that night. He's on a two-fight losing streak against former champ, who many people consider the greatest of all time, and Jan Blachowicz, the current champ. Before that, knocked out a middleweight, who has been knocked out a few times, and Chris Weidman, and fought Volkan Ozdemir to a split decision. Fight. Other than that, like, decision over OSP, TKO'd Jarek Kanier, a middleweight. You look at Jiří Procházka, just decapitated Volkan Ozdemir. Before that, beat CB Dolloway, middleweight. Before that, beat Fabio Maldonado, who gets punched a lot in his career. Before that, King Mo is good, but probably on the
middleweight. He was on the back end.
Also way near the end of his career. Yeah. For that, Brandon Halsey, who I also believe was a middleweight. So interesting couple of fights. I think this will be very telling for both men, because I do say Jiří Procházka decapitated Volkan Ozdemir, but his hands were at his side almost the entire fight, and you can't do that against Dominic Reyes, or you will get your head decapitated. But Ant, do you want to put an official prediction on this card, on this fight?
I'll go Reyes, only because he's slightly more proven. Yes. And that's because we've seen him, you know, piece up a guy who, and Volkan Ozdemir, whose chin is probably on the wrong side of town now. And other than that, he was buzzing through some people at Rising. But Dominic Reyes, even in the loss to John Jones, showed a lot more than a lot of other 205ers have shown. So I'll go with Reyes.
When you say loss, can you give me the air quotes?
I'll give you the air quotes, because I thought Reyes should have won that decision too. So,
do you think Santos beat John Jones?
No, absolutely not. I didn't even understand the argument for that. The thing we were at that one, right?
Yeah, that was 239.
I didn't see the argument on that one.
Actually, that's a fight I need to rewatch, because when the fight was over, I actually had Santos winning, but that might have been of my I expected John Jones to dominate it. So with the fact that it was a close fight, the close rounds, I might have just gave to Santos and kind of subconsciously. So at the time that when it happened, I did think Santos won, but I could have been just emotional. You know,
I don't think John Jones did 50-45, but I did have John Jones winning.
Yeah.
Upon replay. I can't remember what I thought that night. Anyway,
yeah, that was like Jones's weird little era. The Anthony Smith fight was right before that.
Anthony Smith was on this show specifically, and he said people are putting a lot of stock into a close fight with me, a close fight with Santos, and a close fight with Dominic Reyes. Those are three really good fighters that a lot of people have good fights with. I agree with you, Ant. He was in that weird stage where he was having these close fights, but Anthony Smith swayed me, where he's like, those are really good fighters. And John Jones just fought really good fighters.
Yeah, but also, too, I think Jones wasn't even trying his hardest in those, especially the Santos fight. It was like weird. Yeah. He would say, okay, I'm only going to kick an elbow this way. He would just do strange stuff where there was a clear path to victory that he just decided to completely
not overlook. Trying hard and fighting stupid is not an excuse. That's on you. I mean, I know you're saying, but like, you got to try hard.
You shouldn't try if you're holding a belt. Like,
also against Dominic Reyes, his wrestling coach wasn't with him. Is he wrestling? Izzy Martinez wasn't in his corner. I'm sure he thought this is just me speculating. I'm sure he thought the Reyes fight would not be a lot of wrestling. And Reyes clearly put in the work. So when he was piecing it, like, remember, we've all seen that image of John Jones, like, turning his back and kind of running out of the way from Reyes. Mm-hmm. And Reyes just kept on him. So when Jones shot for the takedown, Reyes was right there and stuffed it immediately and kept the fight standing. So I feel like if they ran that back, John Jones would have a much different approach to that fight. Anyway, agreed. Won't happen though.
Yeah.
John Thank Jones you for the question, Scott.
Yeah, does John Jones fight anymore? Does he have a manager yet? What's going on with that?
Oh, that's right. Forgot about that.
I know, that was wild. I have no idea, but yeah, that's a juicy story.
Yeah, I need a question about that.
Here we go. Oh, let's talk about this guy.
Colby Covington's possible transition of being a superstar from Tristan Gordette 1982 on the site. You think the fans here in America will get behind Colby Covington if he becomes the welterweight champ, just like how Conor is with fight fans in his country of Ireland? Does he bolster himself as a superstar of the company being the heel with his trash talking, his charisma combined with being a very good fighter? He's positioned where everyone does want to see him fight, the possibility of him driving a pay-per-view buy. So interesting points you make. Most importantly, he did add Colby Covington is a very good fighter. Colby Covington is an elite welterweight, regardless of how you feel about him personally. He could be the best welterweight in the world. Him and Kamaru might fight 10 times, and it's 50-50. I think those are the two best welterweights right now. I know Leon Edwards is there. I just have a few questions before I can slot him into that same group. As we said before, Colby Covington's stick drives clicks, and people tune in whether they want to see him win or lose. Regardless, and when he, I'll answer this right now. Will you American fans get behind Colby Covington? And you weren't in attendance at 245, you said, right? When he fought.
Yeah, I wasn't there.
Okay, so you and
I
were there.
My son decided to selfishly be born 2 weeks later.
Jerk. Selfish coward. Anyway, Casey, do you remember the chants that were very present during the main event between Colby Covington and Kamaru Usman?
I thought they were battling chants.
Nope, they were very much USA chants, and that's why it was because we.
Oh, I remember now. Because you're American. Yeah, they were chanting for me. Yeah,
yeah. He's like, yeah, they were chanting for me. I'm like, I don't think so, my guy.
I love what Kamaru said. Though, like, I'm the American here. Yeah.
Oh no, 100%. He gave a perfect answer.
Yeah,
like that was the big takeaway from that press conference. Tito Ortiz was also about 10 rows behind me, and was very loud in his support of Colby Covington, obviously, but. Is Colby Covington a draw? Is he a superstar? And I'll let you take this one.
He's a superstar in the sense that he can be the heel, like the question pointed out. I know we talk about someone in the UFC attempting the Mayweather blueprint on being the villain and people paying mm-hmm. to see you lose. I think Colby has a better chance of anyone of doing that. Because he certainly has the skill to hold the belt. He could do that. If he beat Kamaru Usman and he held that belt, it's like who's going to beat him? Because I favor him against everybody but Kamaru in the welterweight division. He can certainly just rile people up and get them angry, and people will pay to see him lose. So when I think back to the first Usman fight, there were the reaction that I saw online was so vastly different from so many other much more spectacular knockouts in the UFC. And that's because there were so many celebrities and comedians and a lot of black entertainers that typically don't say anything about mixed martial arts. And they were reposting this image of Usman breaking the MAGA jaw. That was like a big deal. That sort of hate that you can carry out there will translate into people giving you their credit card number. So he can be a star in that sense. Like if he got Black Twitter talking, like every time Colby pops up, Black Twitter is talking, and Masvidal got a little taste of that as well this weekend. So if you can electrify people who normally don't watch the sport, then yeah, you can end up becoming a star. And a lot of brothers ain't on to the UFC like that, but a lot more have been since MAGA Jaw. So if we have more opportunities to see that, more brothers will jump in. And I think my son agrees. Yeah. I don't know if y'all heard that scream in the background.
Respect.
That's Black Twitter going after Colby, right?
There you go.
Know it. Got my Liberate the Ponder shirt on, you know.
Casey, is Colby Covington a draw?
I he's a draw, but I don't think he's. I think he's far away from being a superstar. Is the MAGA thing still a thing?
Yup.
Yep.
After being in Florida, I can comfortably say
them goofballs have been in my mentions.
Yeah. God, I thought we were.
Did you see the press conference before? Did you see the press conference? Like the people that spoke before the. The fighters came out.
The governor and all that crap. Florida. Yeah.
Oh yeah, my Twitter mentions kind of took off for a bit too.
Yeah, stick.
It was like
stick so to I sports.
Tweeted a photo. I tweeted a photo of the lineup of like who was going to be there, and I didn't give my opinion one way or another. I was just like, this is going to be a different style of press conference, I guess. And the amount of arguments in my Twitter mentions. Let me tell like the Lyft drivers in Florida. Love the governor of Florida. I know he's very polarizing. I don't know enough about the guy, but there's some things that they said that I was like, my God, man, like if you're going to be racist, at least try to hide it. Don't just come out and say it. And then I'm like, oh, I'm in Florida. This, whatever. Like it is what it is. But my God, the Lyft drivers themselves were like very vocal about it. So I can comfortably say, Casey, that gimmick will work forever.
All right. Well, Florida is the last place that me and Esther experienced just like straight up open racism. Not even like coded racism, because everything's kind of coded racism now, but it was just straight up open. Like, oh, okay.
Oh, man.
We're doing this right now.
I don't want to say what certain individual Lyft drivers and Uber drivers are saying, but my God, like me and Oscar were just like looking at each other like, what is this guy saying right now?
just get us to our destination.
We're like, all right, I'll say one, it wasn't races or anything, but like I took a Lyft and Uber with like Mike Bond. He was also in our Lyft ride because we're all staying in like the same hotel area, and we had to get to the I think it was the media day, and Mike Bond's like, can I sit in the front, to the Lyft driver, and he's like, yeah, as long as you don't try kiss me. And then we like went off to the media day. I was like, what the hell? What is he talking? Where did you get that from? And Mike was like, okay, I wasn't planning on it. In the very like Mike Bond phrasing of it. It was very funny. But like that's the kind of Lyft drivers we were getting.
Yeah, I'd be very popular over there, I'm sure.
Does he bolster himself? Can we answer this question?
Did we answer his question?
Yeah. I mean, I
think so.
Fight fans will. I don't think it will be like an America versus thing. I think it will be a dividing gimmick or stick in America. If that makes sense. I don't think everyone's just going to be. He's not going to become like the Anderson Silva of America, where like Brazilians just travel to wherever Anderson fights. I don't think that's what will. I don't think any U.S. fan fighter, U.S. based fighter, will be like that, but. Colby Covington's gimmick will forever divide the country. Yeah.
This week on The Pitch, it's tween time.
We're redefining feminine hygiene for tweens.
You've done 5 million in sales. You did 3 million last year. Very impressive.
Thank you.
I really believe in this category. I'm an investor in a company called AmpFloat.
And similarly, I'm a personal investor in Ruby Love.
Like Elizabeth and Charles, I have seen a lot of these companies. Mm-hmm. I've never made an investment in the space. You should be raising more than $500,000.
As a Black woman, for me to come on here and say, I'm going to become the new Always, that's super audacious. And I could we? Always. For sure.
What makes it audacious?
Yeah, let's do it.
That's what I wanted to hear.
I get the sense back her experience might have been a little different.
That looked really expensive.
This week on The Pitch, Monica Williams drops the mic. Go right now and subscribe to The Pitch wherever you listen to podcasts.
What's a bigger fight, Colby versus Kamaru or Colby versus Masvidal?
Colby versus Masvidal.
Wow.
We haven't seen it yet.
I think it depends. I think if Colby gets the title, it would be interesting.
They give Masvidal another title shot after two straight.
100%. 100% they would.
Why would that would happen? I mean, that should have been the next season of Tough. That should have been it.
It should have been.
And no, then that would have been
there. There should be no seasons of Tough. There,
that's yeah. In a perfect world, perfect world. But we're not talking about a perfect world, Casey.
We're talking about the Ultimate Fighting Championship. Yeah. Far from perfection. The perfectly apolitical UFC, but that's another story.
Okay. I got some. You know, we're going to have weeks to talk about Colby stuff and problematic things he said. So I'm going to go to the next question. All right. Here we go. We got, we'll try to fly through these.
Terrence Lever on the site. So rapid fire. Who fills their belt first with red rubies, Valentina or Usman? Also, do they get a new belt after? Ant, what do you say?
I say Valentina, just because we can't even see a path to victory for anyone else in that division. Usman, at least Colby's there, and maybe he can do it. And they had a close fight already. And Leon Edwards is fantastic fighter. There are things that we haven't seen yet as far as Usman is concerned. Valentina is just smoking everybody without the slightest chance of them getting anything off. So she fills it up first. Yeah. No competition on the horizon.
As long as Valentina doesn't get injured and the UFC books her, yeah, she'll definitely fill that up faster. Do you agree that Valentina at women's flyweight, that's the biggest gap between champion and the rest of the division?
Yes, I agree.
Women's featherweight.
I think flyweight. I think it's women's featherweight. I think we still. I mean, if Cyborg retired, then I'm talking kind of worldwide. Sorry.
Okay. Because women's featherweight is barely a division. Like you might have a division between every promotion, so it's kind of hard to count that.
Yeah, I'm talking about worldwide. Yeah.
I think Valentina is astounding.
Yeah.
That I just don't know because she's not fought someone at flyweight that can test her. Like. Man, I think that's kind of thing. Like, who's she gonna fight left? Like,
but I think that says it all right there.
Yeah, it's not
because she's not fighting bums.
No, no
just
not.
Gone dry.
She's not. She's fighting
very serious.
Every person
fighter.
She's fought, every person she's fought, no one can argue they deserve the title shot. No one can argue Andrade didn't deserve it. Like, even Lauren Murphy, after they both won a Fire Island, she was like, "Yep, Andrade probably deserves it," and I have no issue with that. She made her look like she didn't belong in a cage. It was unbelievable.
I picked Andrade with the upset. I thought Andrade was going to be a perfect foil. I'm not surprised Shevchenko won. I'm just shocked that she won so easily.
Oh, unreal.
I still don't get it.
Also, I do want to answer this.
I'm sorry, go on.
Terrence's second half, do they get a new belt? I believe they have two plates on the side that they fill up with rubies. I think it's 12. So it's like 6 and 6 or something like that. No, what am I talking about? I think it's 8, 16, 8 and 8 because of Octagon. And then I think they start filling rubies in the centerpiece. And my only knowledge of this is playing the UFC video game where one of my champions retired undefeated. And when I ran out of ruby space, that's just what they start putting in. Anyway, why is Valentina disrespected when it comes to UFC women's champs? She's the only one who fought on fight night, was put at the bottom of three title fights this weekend. Also, Zhang was above her in the pound-for-pound rankings, or was it simply because the fights were meant to be in China? I believe the original plan might have been the women's fights were going to headline in Singapore. And if you're going to headline a card in Singapore, I don't normally heavier weight headlines, but come on, like Zhang Weili has to headline in Singapore. I get it. Also, the Chinese market is a massive market in anything, not just the UFC. There's a reason LeBron James has been very vocal about every single political movement and kind of walked the line on the Chinese situation with like the Houston Rockets owner. We don't have to get into that. She was the only one who fought on a fight night. Yeah, that's true. Also, wasn't that fight night kind of thrown together last minute, Casey? That was a Liz Cummings card?
Yeah,
in like Uruguay. Well, in the Uruguay, she also speaks fluent Spanish, so I get why she headlined that too. And it was a rematch. Hello, whoever walks behind you. Anyway, I don't think she's being disrespected.
I think so. A little bit. I thought she should have been the co-main event for this pay-per-view. because of her dominance at the division. But it's the UFC's, it's not Valentina's problem, it's the UFC's problem that they haven't created a proper rivalry for Shevchenko.
Right.
Or, yeah, that's all. And I know Dana was trying to push the whole, let's have Wiley move up already. And it's like, I was like, what? She's a 115er anyway. I don't know. Slight disrespect, but also she needs a rival. And yeah.
That's what we all said when Juliana Pena called out Amanda Nunes. Amanda Nunes had not had that Chael Sonnen rival yet. And I think Juliana Pena talks a lot. I think she's going to be able to sell that fight. Anyway, number three, do you feel like rematches are deserved if a champ loses and hasn't been dominant? So multiple title defenses. And do champs deserve rematches if they haven't been a dominant champ?
Depends on the type of loss. I think from like the way Whaley lost to Rose, no, that does not deserve an immediate rematch. Let Rose move on and do something else. I'm the opposite on that.
Yeah. Okay, go on. Sorry.
No, please.
I interrupted you. Sorry. Go on, sir.
Oh no. No, I just think that if you lose fair and square, then just work your way back up. And if you had the belt before, you don't necessarily have to start at the back of the line. Get one more win. Get one more quality win and then be right back there. But I think the UFC is so quick to burn the idea of rematches, and you're ruining the potential for a lot of fighters. Like you think about Cody Garbrandt. He's probably the clearest example of someone who did not benefit at all.
Think about Max Holloway.
Max Holloway. Yeah. Another good example too. Like man, now this guy has, you have two losses behind the champion with no clear route to get back there. Unless you give that dreaded trilogy match that no one was really asking for. So you're just burning up opportunities, man. Like, let them rematch the right way, like the way Henry Cejudo rematched Demetrius Johnson. Let them rebuild, let them expand on their skill sets, and then meet the champion if they still hold the belt.
So Cejudo
makes a lot more sense to me.
Cejudo was a challenger. I'm trying to think of a champ that got whooped and then
got an immediate rematch.
Yeah. Like the Joanna got an immediate rematch, right? After
she was so dominant.
Yeah, but she was so dominant that it's not too upsetting.
Stipe got an immediate one. I mean, DC fought in between, but
yeah,
when Stipe lost, his very next fight was for the belt.
It wasn't an immediate rematch, but Ronda got an immediate title shot when she returned. Obviously, Holly Holm lost.
It was kind of like lost, so she fought, didn't want to be a different person, but immediately came back to a title shot. Aldo
lost to Connor and then fought for the interim title against Frankie at 200.
Yeah, and then he lost to Max and then came back to lose to Max again
on short notice. Yeah,
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 yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't like when they do that.
It depends on how they lose. Also, I think it depends on the division. If like strawweight specifically, like we're talking about right now, I assume what he's talking about, like because
it's like it's just Whaley. It's Whaley situation.
Yeah.
Division, I think strawweight is by far the most.
You were frozen. Sorry, Jose.
Oh, me? Oh,
yeah.
We can all agree.
But you were frozen at a really good point. Or you looked like you were thinking. You were like, and strawweight.
It's like,
we were just waiting. Like, ooh,
it's my seat. Like, he's going to say something really good now.
We can all agree the women's strawweight division is by far the most stacked women's division in the UFC. It is so good.
Chef's kiss.
So I just think it's a different situation. Like if Valentina had lost her first title defense, there was really no one next in line. So like I would agree, like, yeah, Valentina deserves the next shot. But like even Rose at the press conference, she's like, Joanna wants it. And maybe the rematch. And Rose brought up, well, we also have to see how Carla Esparza and Yan Xiaonan play out. Because, like, they're both on a tear. Tatiana Suarez is out there. Tisha Torres has looked pretty good lately. Marina Rodriguez just knocked out Amanda Ribas, the one everyone thought was going to be the next champ. And now that we lost Sandhagen and Dillashaw, Michelle Waterson and Marina Rodriguez might headline that card. So, like, if Marina back-to-back finishes, like, the division has to move on because it's so stacked. It is so stacked. So, also, for all these saying it was a flash knockout, I can't remember who put it out there, and I apologize, I'm forgetting your username. Someone on Reddit like broke it down. Like she showed Whaley training in, I think it was Thailand, with like a Muay Thai specialist, and she was learning like that hip, like you know when you like move out of the way of a leg kick and you like swivel your hips a certain way so you can get back into like you can keep it's like running in place so you can keep going. She did that a ton against Joanna, where she would like duck a leg, like she would move out of the way from a leg kick, but then rock her hips back and forth. Izzy does it a lot too. And you could see it. Like he pulled him next to each other. Like Rose started low. And when Whaley cocked her hips back and her face went forward, Rose just went up and slapped her. So it was game planning at its absolute perfection, where she faked a kick. Whaley did what she normally does and hips back, face forward, and went right into a baseball bat. I don't think that was a flash knockout. I think Rose and Trevor Whitman game planned perfectly and knocked her dead. So I think Whaley needs one more fight before she gets another title shot.
But that's not like a type of knockout, a type of fight where you go 10 out of 10 times Rose.
No,
Whaley.
I agree.
Okay, that's all I'm saying. Yeah.
We're 100%. If they run it back, like
who knows?
Like we can all agree, like Whaley, Joanna, Rose are probably the three best strawweights right now.
Yeah,
Tatiana Suarez is out there, but like any of like I'm not gonna say no to a rematch because that fight is a high level martial arts competition.
Don't forget Jessica Andrade. If she comes back down to 15,
she can just come back down and recap. Yeah, I mean,
that's craziness too. I know. Oh, dude, I love strawweight.
Man, it's so good.
But in terms of Whaley, I think as far as a direct rematch, I think timing is really there. If there's no more contender, and I feel with Joanna out there, I mean, Joanna obviously needs to fight someone, get a win, maybe do a Joanna Whaley rematch. That'd be crazy. The fight I'm actually really, really looking forward to is if Esparza wins, and I would love to see the Rose Carla rematch. That's actually the fight I want to see the most.
The problem with Joanna is just that. What Ant was talking about. She's already 0-2 against Rose because they fought back to back.
So it's now it's like, oh man, do we want to see that for a third time? And neither contest was very competitive. So
well, the second fight was close. The first fight she got knocked unconscious. The second fight was close. Everyone's voted for Rose, but it was a high level fight.
It was definitive. It was definitive Rose victory. So I agree. I'm really this is the exact problem with the immediate rematch for a champion, but. I'm with Casey. I want to see Esparza back up there, and that would actually be such a good fight.
The
story between them. They fought for the first strawweight title, and to see the growth in both of them since will be fantastic.
And coming into that first title fight, the inaugural title fight, it was all based around Rose. I mean, you know, the UFC was like Rose. Oh, yeah, crap,
she was the one that Dana was saying was going to be like the next Ronda. I think.
They were all in. Mm-hmm. They were all in. Mm-hmm. Cool. Great question. Let me go to the comments real quick. This is kind of a fun one. Oh, it's big.
I'm from Dalton S in the YouTube comments. Am I the only one who wishes Khamzat would stop chasing big fights and just take another fight? I mean, they're prize fighters. Fight the biggest name you can is kind of the name of the game, but
it's a UFC.
I just want to. Yeah. Yeah. Personally, Jose Youngs, I just want to see Khamzat fight. I don't really care who he fights. I just want to see him get back in there. If it's a big name, awesome. If it's not, awesome. I just want to see the man fight because he was built up so much, and then for reasons out of his control, unfortunately, he hasn't been able to fight. I just want to see the guy fight. Don't care who it's against. Ant?
I just want to see him fight. But main thing, I want him to be healthy before we really start thinking about him fighting. So I need to know that he's healthy, and then we can go into fight bookings.
I think it's so far away right now. When did he say he thinks he's going to be ready?
He said the summer, but that was that's what he said.
Yeah. And this is also the guy who was training throughout COVID and coughing up blood. So I'm not going to take his word for it.
Yeah. Let's just get him healthy and let's see what happens.
And he's got a warlord threatening him to not retire too. So,
that's done.
What's next for Jessica Andrade? The top three strawweights and Valentina beating her. I feel like she's a big challenge for flyweight contenders, but she can never beat Valentina. I don't think anyone beats Valentina, so right now. I think Andrade going back to strawweight would be very interesting. She's 1-1 against Rose, so there's always a rubber match there. Mm-hmm. The Zhang Weili fight was, she lost fair and square, but that was, she got caught and just got never recovered right away. Wouldn't hate that rematch either, because that's a high level fight. And then Joanna, I think the Andrade we see now is just a different Andrade that fought Joanna. I think she would fight a lot smarter than just rushing into a jab in a straight left or whatever it is. I think strawweight would be the move, but the shortest path to the title is probably flyweight, just because it's a little more shallow. Ant, what do you say?
I say money weight. You just fight either division and wait for a spot to open up. So she can smoke pretty much everyone there except for the champions and strawweight, obviously. Joanna and Weili might give her some work. So I say money weight, man. Just cash paychecks, and when the spot opens up, just fit into it, strawweight or flyweight.
Casey?
Pretty much agree with Miss. I agree with Mr.
You
Walker.
You agree with Mr. Walker? Said.
Yeah.
Boom. Money weight. Fight a featherweight. F it.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, I love to see a little chubby Andrade just out there, just at 145,
looking like a micro machine just charging.
Yeah. It's like when BJ fought Lyoto Machida at heavyweight.
Who's the tallest featherweight? Yeah, let's have the tallest featherweight. Yeah, Megan Anderson versus Jessica Andrade.
Megan Anderson.
Get a 6 foot tall. Yeah, we need a good foot difference. That's need some circus fights.
Megan Anderson's taller than all of us. She's very tall. Do you think Daniel Cormier made a mistake confronting Jake Paul this past Saturday? The more attention these brothers get, the more success they'll have. So annoying.
I don't think he made a mistake. Like, if someone pops off at you, you're gonna say something back. Like, and Cormier is obviously for as buttoned up and professional as he can be, he's also kind of a hothead. So if you poke at him, he is going to fire back, and that's just his personality. I don't think that's necessarily wrong. But given the Paul's attention, I mean, it's clearly working. And as I said before, if you are a sucker, if you are a mark, if you are someone who is easily swindled, there's a 99% chance that you are a combat sports fan. So here we are talking about the Paul brothers.
Is DC a mark?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He's a huge mark. So he played right into that. It's not necessarily a mistake. I mean, the worst case scenario for him is that he gets a payday. If he is allowed to, like, Dana White is annoyed by Jake and Logan Paul enough, he just might let Cormier take one of them on in a boxing match. He just might, and he might get paid.
Dana White would never let DC fight a boxing match, because there is a 1% chance DC loses that. And can you just imagine? If DC,
but he's let fighters, like, he's let fighters, like, I remember Stephen Bonner was saying that Dana gave him a release to, like, let him fight Tito in Bellator because he just hates Tito.
We're talking Stephen Bonner. DC is basically the second, outside of Rogan and Dana himself, DC is probably the third biggest public face for the UFC.
Like the heir apparent to the being the face of the UFC. Yeah. So I get that,
that's why I think there's just zero chance the UFC will greenlight it.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's my thinking.
Yeah. I mean, he would absolutely annihilate Jake Paul for the record, if anyone is doubting that. So I'll just leave that. I'll let that statement stand.
But did he make a mistake doing it?
No.
Even giving him time. Like, dude, if I go on Twitter right now and call LeBron a punk, do you think LeBron shows up at my driveway with a basketball and, like, all right, let's do this? I mean, like, I don't know. Like, that's what basically DC's doing. He's like, oh, you call me fat. I'm going to have to fight you now.
LeBron's not a prize fighter.
Yeah. It's a totally different thing. It's like you're dealing with, when combat sports, you're dealing with different sort of personality types. And that
fragile egos?
LeBron James has a lifetime contract worth $1 billion with Nike. I think he's fine. Doesn't need it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's also, it's not like, Kobe like popping off at LeBron on Twitter. Like, yeah, LeBron probably doesn't
like LeBron know James responding would be like his detriment.
What's this equivalent to? I'm trying to think of like different, like, what's the basketball equivalent to Jake Paul?
This is the equivalent of.
I was thinking
of a hip hop example, but yeah.
Well, I know you're gonna know what I'm talking about. Casey, do you know who Brian Scalabrine is?
No.
So Brian Scalabrine, yeah, you know who Brian Scalabrine is?
The name is familiar.
So
but
he's the White Mamba. He's the White Mamba. He was a very tall, redheaded, goofy-looking clown that played in the NBA for the Celtics, and he was just the goofiest guy. And he had kind of he had like a cult following because if you saw him, you'd be like, no way this guy plays in the NBA. He was like the 12th man on like an NBA Celtics championship team. And so many people are like, oh, I could beat this bum. I'll beat this bum. And he goes, okay. And then he did a tournament. And if you beat him, he gave you a bunch of money. And if he beat you, all the money went to charity. He cooked everyone. Everyone that showed up, he just smoked. It wasn't even close. He gave him like 5-point advantage. And he was like, he just smoked him. That's the equivalent I could think of because Brian Scalabrine has nothing to lose. He's like, whatever, I'm the 12th man in the NBA. If you beat me, you beat the 12th man, but you're not going to beat me. That's the only thing I could think of that has happened in the NBA where a like the worst player on a team welcomed all these people to come get the smoke, and he cooked them all.
I think of Jake Paul is like if he was like the MVP of like slam ball. Going like okay, now I want to go against you, Giannis.
it's Giannis. This would be the equivalent of like, I'm like, do you remember when the Lions were like 0-16 and like Alabama was like just running train on everyone? Yeah. College, they're like, oh, could Alabama Crimson Tide beat the Detroit Lions? I'm like, no, the Lions are grown men. Also, in college football, if you catch the ball and fall down, you're down. In the NFL, you get lit up if that happens. Yeah. Like, it would never happen.
Well, it will never happen. Like, the worst player in the Lions is still the best player on a college team. Well, pretty much. You know what I mean?
Just about. Yeah. Like, I'll give a hip-hop example. Jose, you'll appreciate this. On Jay-Z's The Takeover, he had, like, all these people popping shots at him. And the last line, you only get half a bar, F y'all. Talking about like guys like J.O. Felony. Like J.O. Felony may be a good rapper, may have a couple hits, but you're not Jay-Z. You're not on that level. So this is the same sort of thing right here.
I agree. Also, I would like to add, Jake Paul has some very serious accusations going against him playing out in the media right now. So F that guy, if those are true, because those are horrendous. Let's get that sorted out before we even discuss the man having a fight against a high-level MMA fighter.
Fair enough.
We ran on time because we started a little late, so we started a little late, we ended a little late.
And we spent a half hour on that first question, so had to pay it forward somehow.
Real quick, okay, fly through these.
Quickies, perfect. MMG 2K20, so rapid fire. Just give me your first thought. Can you think of a quick plus more exciting main card than UFC 261? No fight went past the second round. So main card specifically, Ant, is this the greatest main card in UFC history?
No, I'm agree with you. 189 is.
Casey?
It's the quickest. That's all I'll say.
Quickest, 189 is still the greatest because that was insane. Thoughts on Ariel confirming that Tatiana Suarez re-injured herself again, and who is next for Rose? Ant.
Carla Esparza, if she gets past the young lady whose name I'm going to mess up the pronunciation of.
Casey.
And Tatiana Suarez will never be the same again.
Right. Everything Ant Walker said.
Winner Yan Xiaonan versus Carla. I am absolutely heartbroken for Tatiana. If she was the never got hurt, she'd be the champ. Usman defended his belt 2 times since Colby last fought. Does anyone else not like the idea of Colby just waiting to be picked? Ant.
I don't care too much. The only thing I don't like is that Leon Edwards is out in the cold, but at least he gets the big Nate Diaz fight.
Boom. Casey?
I understand why Colby didn't fight because the bigger money fight is there, and so I wish he had another fight. I wish we had a Colby Wonder Boy or something like that, but we don't, so this is how it is.
It is what it is. Their first fight absolutely ruled, and I think that the two best welterweights have no issue if this is the next fight. What are the chances the winner of Leon versus Nate gets the title shot instead of Colby? Zero. Ant?
Big chance. If Leon goes out there and sparks Nate and becomes a star himself, or if Nate does the impossible, that is the next title fight, and Colby will be left out in the cold as if he had an interim belt all over again.
I don't think Leon has a shot or Lean has a shot. If Nate does win, I do think there is a chance. It's going to be a price thing. Whoever will fight Kamara for cheaper, Colby or Nate, I think.
Nah, winner fights Masvidal.
People hate Nate Diaz for not fighting. And then he takes the fight that everyone thinks he's going to lose. So why don't we give props to Nate Diaz for being taken a fight that's freaking very, 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 very tough. Everyone like craps on him, you know, but
five rounds too.
Yeah.
And I've said this a few times between the links and preview shows and stuff. I'm so happy this is five rounds because I like Nate Diaz and I like Leon Edwards. None of us know how the Masvidal-Diaz fight would have ended if the cut didn't happen. I think we all agree that Masvidal still probably would have won. But the fact that that is even an argument, or like if it's a three-round fight, like say Nate loses a three-round fight, he goes, oh, well, if you had rounds four and five, he would have won. Five rounds settles it. There's no argument if he loses a five-round fight anyway. Moving on. Yeah. I still think the winner fights Masvidal. By the way, just noticed Jose looks a lot like soccer player called Manuel Lanzini. Please Google him. I have absolutely no idea who that is. Someone tell me in the comments if that's a good thing.
Freaks.
Anyway, freaks. Super League. Are we closing out, Casey?
Yeah.
I hear the music, so that's a wrap. Man. And you know the drill. What you want to say before we close out this episode of the A-Side?
So I just want to say that I appreciate being on yet again, and I probably will not be back for quite some time because this second baby is coming and my life is about to be completely overrun by babies. So it is what it is. Love and peace. Check out the Walkout Network. See my weekly podcast, Unleash, and follow me on Twitter, Kung Fu Bao. Let's get it.
Ooh, got him. Casey, what you got to say?
Aunt Walker, stop making humans. Come over to my dojo. And get these bows.
Well, actually, Casey, I enjoy practicing making humans. So,
hey, a little risque here. Hey,
my wife was
knock that hat off. You just
congratulations on the practice from every man. Congratulations. Anyway, no Demon Slayer questions. I'm disappointed.
Oh,
everyone,
dude,
go see.
I started watching Demon Slayer.
Dude, isn't it so good?
I'm two episodes in. I love it. I'm digging.
So here's the thing, because people, thank you for no one tweeting me spoilers. I finally saw the movie. I literally landed and went to go see it. Fantastic. You don't really need to see it. They do a really good job of setting the backstage. If you don't like cliche anime tropes like Naruto, One Piece, DBZ, Dragon Ball, all that stuff, don't watch it. Art is second to none. The lore is great. Go watch it, and then we can chat. Next week, I expect only Demon Slayer questions.
All right.
Peace and love.
Oh, and there's a guy that asked a Mortal Kombat question on Twitter.
Oh, there was.
I saw the movie. The movie was so fun.
That movie sucked.
I loved it.
I did see this. I had that too.
It's
crap.
So bad. That movie was so horrible. Bad. But it ruined. I'm like, that movie was so bad, but I watched it for the same reason I watched Scorpion King. It's just a silly goose time, and people are getting killed up with crazy magic, and that is exactly what I got.
I can't. I was trying to find that question. I lost it too. Yeah. So
here's the thing.
So John Jones is Jax, right?
If you had a silly goose time watching Triller, you're gonna have a silly goose time watching Mortal Kombat, because that was the same entertainment I got. Just tomfoolery and ridiculousness all around. Human being got cut in half with a hat. See you next week.
Pairs good with edibles.
Ooh, yeah. Smart man.
That's a positive message for the kids as we fade out.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.